Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're very happy to welcome in on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Mike Rizzo, the president of baseball ops and general manager of the Washington Nationals. In the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo is presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Junkies. How are you?
You ready for a long day at the ballpark? Doubleheader on tap
oh,
today?
Oh, yeah. Split doubleheader, long day, but could be a fun day, so that's good.
So I was wondering, I was thinking about the schedule, and you guys played the Sunday night game in Atlanta on ESPN Sunday night, and then you had to play the next day, so you had to fly back home and play the next day. I'm wondering, would you rather have that and have the day off for the guys? Was that better for the guys, or have to play the doubleheader? You know what I mean? Like, what works out better for your guys in terms of rest?
I think playing the game would have been better rest wise, just because, you know, we were there, you're there anyways, you prepared for the game, you're loose, you're stretched and everything. And then you have to sit around. And fortunately, you know, MLB's call on that game, because it's the last time Colorado's in after the All-Star break, that's the rules. And they canceled it early enough where the guys could get home and get some rest. The worst thing is when you're sitting there through these rain delays and the games finally get canceled at like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and you have to start it up again the next day. So fortunately we got out of there pretty early and they got some rest, but you know, these doubleheaders bring a lot of rotational stuff that you have to work through. And you know, now you need extra, we need an extra starter for one of the weekend games because of the rain out. So
right.
Yeah, a lot of things go into it.
What time did you get into your bed Sunday night after flying back from Atlanta?
About 4:30 into the ballpark. Yeah.
Wow. And what time do you get to the park today?
Today we'll get there. I'll leave directly from the phone call today, and players are probably they're there 8:30, 9 o'clock, right, starting to filter in.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, awesome game last night. Of course, we always do our Burke and Herbert, hit whatever the
giveaway. The cycle
is.
Giveaway, yeah.
It's a great
for
promotion.
The cycle.
Yeah.
Trey hit it last night.
You didn't get Trey the message, Mike, that he needed to save that for today's game. You'll take the cycle at any point.
Well,
I
you know
get
what?
It.
Just do it again.
Maybe you'll get another one today.
Exactly.
You never know.
Can you imagine?
That'd
exactly.
be amazing.
I know you're not surprised by what Strauss is doing, because you know he's made a career of this. He's a great pitcher.
When he's healthy, he's a stud.
But are you surprised he's been able to stay this healthy?
No, I don't think so. You know, he's done a lot of work on his body, and he's tweaked his mechanics, and he's done a lot of things with his delivery to ensure that he stays healthy. And and again, you know, nothing this guy does surprises me, because, you know, I've been saying for years he's one of the 10-15 best starting pitchers in the game, and continues to do so. Whenever he's on the mound, he's got spectacular stuff and has a will to win and works extremely hard, and has been, you know, one of the top pitchers since he's been in the league. And when he's healthy, he's as good as anybody that ever takes the mound.
Mm-hmm. Do you buy into the reporting? And it just seems obvious from the outside looking in that he looks happier. He looks more relaxed. You see him smiling in the dugout more.
Yeah, what happened in his life where he's so much happier?
And the Strasburg of like 2 or 3 years ago never would have been dancing in the dugout after that massive output.
You would have never seen
against
that.
The Braves.
Uh-uh.
I think he's more comfortable, you know, in his skin, and you know, there's nobody, and I'm including Bryce Harper and anybody that I've ever been associated with in my baseball career that was under such a microscope coming into his career than Steven Strasburg. It was mm-hmm. unbelievable the amount of attention he got from the day he took his junior year at San Diego State to his first start with the Nationals through every trial and tribulation that he's had in his career. So this guy's been under the probably the most microscopic career every movie makes is amplified, and you know, with that it added a little bit more pressure to him. He's an introverted, quiet person to begin with, and just wants to do his business and be with his family. And I think that he's more comfortable in with himself and his own skin. And you know, one of the reasons that he signed a long term deal with us is because he was so comfortable with the people here and the city here, and fell in love with it. And now is you know, a 12-month resident here, and he's you know, his family is growing up right, you know, in the D.C. area. So yeah. I think he's really taken to the city.
I watched about 5 innings last night, and then I just had to go nighty night. But his changeup was just sick. I mean, it dived. When his changeup's on, there's nobody in the bigs that can hit it. I'm convinced.
Yeah, he's got 3 wipeout pitches. You know, the fastball is you know, still in the, you know, the 93-94 range until he wants to throw 97-98, which he has, you know, several of those pitches in his pocket. He's got a devastating curveball and a wipeout changeup, and it's you know, he puts them all together. He throws strikes. He's got good poise on the mound. He's a sneaky good athlete. Can really hit, and and he's really learned to control the running game and to vary his moves to first base and to the mound, and has really become an all around pitcher that helps contribute to wins in many, many ways. And you know, he's got the propensity to put wins on the scoreboard, and you know, you look at his record, and I know the win stat has been you know, kind of negated in the last recent you know, statisticians and the analytical world, but this guy wins a lot of games, and that tells me he's on the mound a lot and helps his own cause by being able to handle the bat, controlling the running game, fielding his position, and having wipeout stuff.
Mm-hmm. We're in the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo from the Washington Nationals. Your heart has to go out to Ryan Zimmerman, back on the IL with the foot issue. What's the latest on him? When is the MRI scheduled, if it's not already happened? And what's his mental state like at this point? Because he's already missed, I think, 53 games earlier in the season with the same issue. How's Ryan doing at this point?
He's well. You know, he's doing well. He's, you know, he keeps a very even keel. He's you know, played a lot of games for this organization and sacrificed a lot for the organization, played through a lot of pain. I've seen what it takes for him to get ready for a game, and I've seen what he's gone through in the past by getting ready, taking shots, and you know, wanting to be on the field. And yeah, the plantar fasciitis creeped up again. You know, it's kind of a nuisance type of injury for him. You know, it's a tear in his plantar fasciitis. It's almost a complete rupture of it, which is almost a good thing, because it's something that could free him up to you know, where it could be very it's a pain tolerance type of thing right now, and he's working through it. He was walking around the clubhouse better than he and I both expected him to, so we're thinking that it's not going to be as long as the last time that he was on the disabled list. And, you know, we're looking forward to getting him back. And I don't want to put a timetable on it, but, you know, we believe wholeheartedly that he'll be helping us, you know, sometime this season. And we're not sure exactly when, but hopefully sooner rather than later.
Is that an injury that at the end of the year in the offseason you have surgery to repair it, or is that something that just has to heal on its own?
It's one of those things that have to heal on its own, but you know, they're kind of better when they fully rupture, because it takes the pain. You know, then it's just a pain tolerance thing. It's not something that can hinder your performance.
All right, the guys were breaking my balls earlier because I didn't know this, but did you know all about the baby shark phenomenon before Parra started playing it as his walk up music?
Not really. No, I wasn't really in tune to it. I knew about
you.
The song, because I heard the song, but yeah, it's a phenomenon. And Parra, you know, typical Parra is the one who instigated the whole thing, and I think it's pretty cool.
Explain to people what he brings to the clubhouse, because people keep talking about it.
The guy's always smiling.
Yeah, well, you know, first and foremost, the guy's a above average defensive outfielder. He's got a cannon for a throwing arm. He's a good intelligent base runner and can hit off the bench. And you know, we knew that going into the fact when we acquired him. I have a personal history with him. I signed him as a 16-year-old, so I've known him since he's 15 years old. So I knew what the kid was all about. I knew the energy he brought to the Diamondbacks when we had him there, and eventually to the Rockies and then with us. So he's got an infectious personality. He's got a motor that never stops. He's got a great energy, and people just want to be around him. And it was really good for the clubhouse. But again, he brings a lot of things to the table. His makeup is certainly a big part of it, but he's still a good little player that can do a lot of stuff for us. And as a bench player and as a leader, he's taken to both of those roles and excelled at both of them.
So you've got Fetty and then Corbin today and tonight, right? And then Max will go tomorrow, correct?
Correct. Yeah, that's our upcoming rotation, yes.
Okay. And Max is like... I mean, do you say he's 100%, or what? Where is he?
Yeah, I think he's 100%. We wouldn't run him out there if he wasn't. He's gone through all his paces and through all the tests, and that's why we didn't want to throw him out there haphazardly. We made him go through his, the way his preparation for a start. He had a full side session and then a full bullpen, his preparation to pitch. So. He felt 100%. He feels normal. And after a long bullpen on Monday, he came through it 100%. And he's scheduled to pitch Thursday, and he should be ready to go.
Was there any thought of holding him back one more day so he could pitch in the Dodger series?
You know, we sat down with our pitching coach and our manager and our analytical people and kind of mapped out the schedule. We felt that strategically Thursday was the best start for him, not only for Thursday, but for going forward throughout the season. He'll match up against, our division rivals each and every time we play them, and could be, it was a strategic okay. matter in the way we put him into the rotation, because we're going to give a couple of guys extra days. He fits in there, and he'll match up against the Phillies and the Braves quite a bit going through the remainder of the season.
Gotcha.
If I remember correctly, I could be wrong, of course, but I feel like Fetty, the last couple times he's pitched, he's definitely been on a pitch count, and he couldn't go necessarily seven innings. Where are we with Fetty in terms of how stretched out he is and how many pitches you guys will allow him to get to?
No pitch count on Fetty. He'll pitch until the manager thinks he's had enough and give us the best chance to win a game. But he's thrown upwards of over 100 pitches in the game in Double A and in the big leagues. And there's no pitch count on him, and we'll run him out there until Davey thinks he has to pull him to win the game. And he'll make those decisions, but it won't be based on any kind of pitch count.
Yeah. He usually gets to 85 or 90 on the pitches.
Yeah, I mean he's stretched out past 100, so he can he can go long as he's having success.
Right.
Mike, we're all pulling for Antonio R. from Laurel, Maryland. He's banking on the cycle tonight, hoping lightning strikes twice with Burke and Herbert Bank. Antonio's already taking home a $100 gift card, but if any Washington baseball player hits for the cycle during tonight's game, Antonio also takes home $100,000 courtesy of Burke and Herbert Bank. Enter for your chance to bank on the cycle during next Wednesday's game at thefandc.com/contest. Mike, thanks again. We will talk to you again next week.
Thank you, buddy.
Great, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I believe when we talk to him next week, that will be on the day of the trading deadline, July 31st, correct?
Correct.
Week from today.
You know what it is?
I think
it was the last time or the second to last time that Fetty pitched, Davey was criticized for taking him out early. Remember?
It was the last time he had threw 66.
Yeah. And then people were like, why?
But if you look at the four starts before that, he was in the mid to high 80s, if not 90s. So I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why he...
That was strange because I can't remember who they brought 66. In. But whoever they brought in, it was Grace or somebody.
Did they lose that game?
Yeah, I think they gave up a bunch of runs.
Gotcha.
Coming up at 9:40.
That never happens with Grace.
We're going to be joined
by... It might not have been Grace.
We'll be joined by Daryl Ryder, covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. That's coming up at 9:40 here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Many thanks go out to our friends at McDonald's for the delicious free breakfast sandwiches this morning. The new Blueberry McGriddle is made with cheese, egg, your choice of bacon, or sausage patty, all between sweet Blueberry McGriddle cakes. It's available for a limited time exclusively across the D.C. metro area. So visit your local McDonald's to try yours today.
This is Adrian Peterson's favorite song. Hey, I just crushed two pieces of sausage. I mean, they're just so good.
You pummeled it.
Pummeled it
with a B.
Pummeled.
What does it feel like to know that you are in a better financial situation than Adrian Peterson?
I mean, it's sad, but it's true.
I mean, it's a terrible story.
I don't owe $6.6 million.
It sucks that it keeps happening to athletes, but somehow they keep entrusting their money, you know, their hard-earned money, to people that, you know, don't have their best interests in mind.
I'm just going to defend them in this sense, Cakes. You don't always know who to trust.
That's true.
Especially if you come from, maybe you come from a tough place.
Yeah.
You don't, and those
naive,
people aren't.
Probably naive.
Probably naive,
uneducated,
but also
about
like
certain things.
People that you can trust aren't necessarily around the corner.
Okay,
from
but it's common sense. Isn't it common sense?
I'm telling you.
When you make that much money, why do you have to invest in so many other businesses?
You don't necessarily have to.
You don't.
But you might have a money person that you trust. Look. What you want about LeVar Ball being a buffoon. I'm not going to argue with you. His guy, his business partner, I told you this, we met him, seemed but nice, but respectable, very down to earth, very mellow. He was stealing from him for years.
I get it. That happens.
But Jason,
I'm saying is, I guarantee you all of his financial problems aren't caused by trusting the wrong people. I guarantee he was a bad spender. He had a lot of kids.
I don't know that. If you say that, I believe it, but I don't know.
Did you see the pictures that Darren Revelle tweeted of Adrian Peterson's 30th birthday party?
No. What was it?
Let me guess. Well, lavish
and
overspent. It was an
Arabian Nights themed party that looked very, very lavish. And
very expensive. Said,
Where was it?
It was millions of dollars.
Right. Where was it?
I don't know, but it was some like event center.
So he was a bad spender.
So here, maybe we go into business. We're consultants to athletes where we just go in with the simplest plan ever for their finances. We go in and say, look, you're going to give us all of your money, and we're going to put it in a high-yield savings account online, and you're going to get a monthly allowance. And if you go over your monthly allowance, sorry, you're going to have to find another way to basically get by. We're just not going to give you access to this money that's over here in a safe vehicle so that when you're 40 and you're not playing anymore, you actually have access to money. It's grown over the last 15 or 20 years.
I'm
telling you, there's a market for this.
I would love to do it. I wouldn't charge a lot. Wouldn't charge a lot to give that advice.
The good news is he's Adrian Peterson. He's still going to earn some money because he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to in the, like the memorabilia circuit and that kind of thing. But it's kind of gross.
But his endorsement appeal is next to zero after the child abuse charges.
But think about how high it was.
Not going to get endorsements.
Think about
how high it was. I think he's going to do a lot of autograph signs.
At his peak. At his peak, he was probably getting hundreds of thousands of dollars for these appearances.
I would guess.
Signing stuff. And it just went out the window.
But then, like Valdez said, he spends $1 million or whatever on a stupid 30th birthday party.
Yeah, I mean, that's just dumb.
Like, why would you do that?
Because he's stupid.
Just because, you know, you're at this point, you're a millionaire. You're going to spend $1 million on a birthday party for yourself? That's just dumb.
And that $6.6 million debt, that ain't going anywhere.
Well, he's going to have to file for bankruptcy.
Why hasn't he done that already?
I would just file for bankruptcy and because you're going to lose everything, and then you got to start over.
Wouldn't you rather file for bankruptcy and not be on the hook for the $6.6
million? Well, but he's probably got homes and cars and stuff that he'd like to keep.
And then there's the trickle-down effect. Like when he's busto and has no money, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to hit up like his buddy Trent Williams for money. And then Trent Williams is going to have to say, sorry, man, I can't help you out.
No, you know what he's going to do? Allen Iverson's in the same boat where Allen Iverson needs cash.
Yeah.
And he always goes to the Sixers whenever he needs money.
Right.
And he goes, hey, I'll come ring the bell for you during
right.
a game. Right. And they'll pay him $15,000-$20,000, whatever it is, for a halftime appearance.
Isn't that trust that he had set up by Reebok, isn't that set to, like, kick in?
It's supposed to,
like,
yeah.
in, like, the next 5 or 7 years?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
But he's also another guy who wasn't very good with his money.
Right.
I don't know. It's just sad. It just frustrates me because I covet.
Right.
I'm coveting him.
You covet what he had.
I covet what he had and what he could have.
Yeah.
And I just know that if I had that kind of money, God damn, I'd be real smart about it. Now, I would go to Vegas and play some golf.
We know that.
And play a couple $1,000 hand blackjack tables. I would do that, but only once. But I would make sure that if I made $100 million cakes,
yeah.
I would make sure 100% I had at least $25 million in the bank, just chilling, sitting there.
See, that, when I hear stories about like financial advisors swindling people, I mean, I am 99.9999% sure that my guy has my best interests at heart.
Right.
But what if that 0.00001%, what if he is a con artist?
Right.
And when I'm 60, all of a sudden I log
you got
into,
nothing?
I
You've bamboozled.
Into
you got
my
nothing.
Wells Fargo, and it's a bunch of these.
It happens to
the
people.
Board.
It happens to people. It does happen.
I mean, I trust Ed. I trust my guy.
Yeah, trust him because I put you on him.
Yeah, you know what? If something blows up with Ed down the line,
yeah.
I'm going to blame you.
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to blame Tom.
Exactly.
Put me on.
We're going to carve up that blame pie.
All right, so I'm on Bleacher Report. He's riding in on a camel, by the way,
on
for
a
his
camel.
For his 30th birthday party.
Did he get it
party.
On loan from Davey Martinez from that bit a few years ago at spring training?
He's
Dougie McKinney loves that bit. The camel bit.
I think Dougie's turned a corner on
Has
Davey,
he
though.
On Davey?
I think so. As the winds have piled up.
He paid Jamie Foxx to show up at his 30th birthday party.
All right.
Uh-oh.
We can't relate.
His money Hold all on. Dried up. Big surprise.
We just can't relate. Look, he botched it. I feel like we're being unfair. He botched. He ruined it, okay?
Yeah.
It was a financial opportunity of a lifetime. He's ruined it. I feel sad for him. I do.
Yeah, frustrated.
You
but...
don't feel sad for him, do you, Cakes?
Not that much, because I think he's a bad, at his core, I think he's a bad guy.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't
think Adrian Peterson is a bad guy.
You really do?
Yeah.
I'm torn on it. I don't know. I know that.
I mean, if you hit your kid with a switch and you leave marks on his leg as a form of discipline, sorry, in my book, you're a bad guy.
Right, but what if you were raised that way?
Doesn't matter.
And then your culture, that was normal.
Yeah, there's a thing known as breaking the cycle.
I agree.
You don't have to keep continuing.
I agree. I'm a little torn on it, though. I have to say I'm a little bit torn on it.
I'm not that torn.
Well, look, I mean, if you're going to pay Jamie Foxx to come to your birthday parties and come in on a camel, you deserve what you have
right.
now.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-oh.
We all make bad decisions.
I know. I bought a condo in OC.
Yeah.
But I'm not 6.6 yeah. mil in the hole.
Did you throw yourself an Arabian-themed birthday party at 30 that cost you millions of dollars? The last time I checked, you did not.
No, but he threw a huge-ass graduation party.
Yeah, but he cut some corners. He got some hooks. He got some deals.
I got a couple deals.
Yeah,
I did
exactly.
get some wine for free, and I got some Corona for free.
Very
Thank you,
good.
Bobby.
Perfect.
That's
Bobby.
The best part.
It's a great bit.
All right, what else you got,
right, play
Cakes?
The 5 and 10 music. I'm not going to get the 5 stories.
I thought that
stories,
was 5
dude.
And 10. I thought that was the first story
no,
in the 5 and 10.
I put it away because I thought
that
you guys were
pivot.
Talking about that.
Oh. Anyway, this is a story that's near and dear to Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon has issued an apology to a customer in the UK after a delivery driver was caught on video taking a deuce in her garden.
You're
no way.
Kidding.
The footage shows a man wearing a bright yellow vest.
He was that desperate? Or did he have something against this?
I think he was just desperate. Went behind a wooden fence.
Yeah. He had a wave. Cakes. He had a wave.
On the Wiltshire property of Rebecca Eleanor Reed. Who posted the security tape on social media with the comment, Amazon, what a pile of poo emoji. It is literally what they deliver to you. Apparently, having finished his business, the man is shown pulling up his pants.
Yeah.
and tossing what appears to be, he was prepared, toilet paper behind him, then hopping back over the fence and making his getaway.
Well, listen, this happens more frequently than you want to believe.
I mean, I guess.
And we've talked about it before, specifically with runners.
Right.
Like, Cakes can attest to this, because Cakes has run a marathon before. And when you run a marathon, it means you got to run 10, 13, 15, 20 miles in your preparation leading up to it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you're just too far away from home. You're not going to get there. I know I have a family member, a brother, who, you know, has run marathons before, and he's been stuck out there and literally had to do it in an alley. It's just like no one's looking.
Right. Well, to me, that's
now, he's not a serial pooper. Like, you find some of those. There was somebody, I think, just in Michigan, right, that was doing it in a pool every day, and they finally had to close the pool down.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You definitely had to close the pool down.
Well, no, like, shut it down for the summer because it was a repeat. There was somebody who was going in there and doing it every day.
Yeah.
And then I know there are runners.
Well, that's
that
somebody
will do
some
this.
Sort of axe to grind against that pool, or just a completely
that was different.
Insane person.
Yeah, that was different.
That's poor planning on your brother's part. If you're going to run a 15-mile like training run,
you can't,
unless it's an emergency. Like, you don't,
usually
you don't
an emergency.
Eat a ton before you go. You eat light.
Ask Farley. I bet you Farley on all his runs.
He does run a lot.
That guy's run his whole life. I bet you he's had a time where he's had to go at least in some bushes somewhere.
I don't know. I would guess if that had happened, he would have told me about it at some point. I've never heard that
Farley,
story. Maybe
he
has.
Hit me up on Twitter later today. I know he listens to the podcast.
Yes, he does.
When you hear the number one most downloaded podcast in the company.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Yes, thank
when you.
You
listen to this,
pat her on back.
I want you to tweet
here.
Me whether or not you've had an incident on one of your runs. I'm going to bet you he's had
he
one.
He does run everywhere.
Was that the same brother who liked to lean up against the wall and throw his legs over his head?
And try things?
try certain things.
Yeah. Most of the shenanigans involve that brother.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised he was pooing when he was running marathons.
Well, I mean, it, you know, it hits you. Jason, you said
it
yourself.
He's kind of a freak.
When a wave hits you, what are you going to do?
Well, go in a woman's garden, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's the move. When we come back, we will pivot. We're going to talk to Daryl Ryder, who covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. We'll touch on the Browns. We'll touch on the fact that Sashi Brown is in the Wizards front office now. So more with Daryl Ryder when we come back next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to welcome in on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Daryl Ryder, covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. What's up, Daryl? Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
You know, we are wrestling with a season-long total bet for the Browns.
This is what's really important.
Where we're going to put our money for Browns wins in the 2019 campaign. I think
there's a lot of hype.
I think we're leaning towards the under because there are so many high expectations for this Browns team. Jason, what's the number? Is it
Nine and a half. Yeah. I mean, at least on one site, they think they're going to win the division, get to 10, 11 wins. I'm not so sure. I think that, you know, they could get to 8 or 9, but I think under 9.5 is a good play. What do you think?
I'm going with the over on that.
Wow.
I think they get to the 10 wins. I don't think that they win 11 or 12 or, you know, something explosively crazy, but I think that they can get to 10 wins looking at that schedule, especially the back end, which is extremely favorable in December.
Well, Baker does have some weapons. I mean, he's got Chubb. He's got Beckham. He's got Landry.
He's got a really good
tight end.
That dude's a stud.
But, you know, he's got a new head coach.
Got a new offense, right?
Which he likes, obviously. So what do you expect from Freddie Kitchens in that offense?
I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. It could potentially be one of the most explosive offenses in the league. They have the personnel to do it, no question about it, led by, of course, Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. You guys mentioned Nick Chubb coming off, halfway through the season, off a suspension, Kareem Hunt will be put into the mix as well. Tight end David Njoku, who had a little bit of a breakout year last year. The expectation is that in his third year, he's going to take yet another step forward. He's a big red zone target for Baker Mayfield. So my expectation is that this offense is going to be one of the more prolific offenses in the NFL.
And Daryl, a guy whose name flies under the radar there, we talked about Kitchens taking over at head coach, is Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. who is with the Bucs, known as an innovative guy, a guy who's big in the passing game. That's another guy who's going to help the development of Baker, of the wide receivers, of the running backs. Despite the fact that Duke Johnson is disgruntled there, they've got a ton of weapons, and they've got a guy in Monken who's going to, show those guys the right path.
They do, and Freddie Kitchens wanted this offseason to make sure that they didn't start an offense from scratch. He wanted to try and pick up where Baker Mayfield and company left off a year ago. When Kitchens took over as the offensive coordinator midway through last season, basically what he did is he took Todd Haley's offense and he pared it down after meeting with Baker and figuring out what concepts Mayfield was really comfortable with and the ones that he wasn't comfortable with. And they went with the stuff that Mayfield was comfortable with, and that's what really formed that bond between Mayfield and Kitchens, is because Baker really felt like Kitchens was in his corner, was really going to go out of his way to put him in a position where he could be successful. So I think that what they're trying to do or will do with Kitchens and Monken is take those concepts from Haley's offense that worked last year, blend in some of Monken's, and therefore it's not just the Freddie Kitchens offense or it's Todd Monken's offense. It's just basically the Browns offense.
You're right about the back end of the schedule. The final month, you get the Bengals twice, Cardinals on the road, and the Ravens at home. I mean, they could go 4-0 there. Cakes, we might have to look at this.
We may have to reassess.
I mean, and even the start of the schedule, they open with the Titans, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they go to play the Jets. So they could start 2-0, and they could end 4-0. I mean, the Ravens game would be tough. In between, they got the Rams and Patriots, teams like that, at San Francisco. But it's probably going to come down to the last couple games for that 9.5.
If they start 3-3, if they go to the bye week 3-3, and then if they come out of the bye week and they're 4-4, mm-hmm. I think that they're in great shape to get to 10-6, because I think they can go 6-2 down the stretch to get there. If they're below 500 at either one of those marks, then yes, I would agree. The 10-win bar that I have set for them would be in jeopardy.
Joined by Daryl Ryder, covers the Browns for 92.3, the Fan in Cleveland. Take us back a little bit. There was a lot of hand-wringing amongst the fan base of the Browns, not from the Baker Mayfield pick in that draft. The fourth pick, Denzel Ward, picked out of Ohio State. People are like, why are you taking a corner here? What are you doing? You could take Bradley Chubb, who was taken one pick later by the Broncos, but Ward basically developed into a superstar in year one, made the Pro Bowl, had three picks as a rookie. I believe he started in 13 games. He's showing he was worthy of that top five selection.
I think, the only one that said that he was going to be a perennial Pro Bowler. Well, he's got one down, so he needs to make it this year to make me right in 2 years. But, yeah, he's Pro Bowl talent, no question about it. They drafted another corner with their first pick this year, Greedy Williams, and they really feel like that those two players, Ward and Williams, are going to be their shutdown corners for years to come. One of the first things that John Dorsey noticed when he took over as GM in December 2017, not only did the Browns have zero blue chip talent, aside from Myles Garrett, but they had no speed anywhere on both sides of the ball, and especially on the defense. You have to be quick, both up front as well as on the back end. And he really went to work addressing those needs over these 19 months that he's been the general manager. But Denzel Ward, again, I feel he, as long as he can stay healthy, that's my concern with him. Had two concussions last year he had one concussion at the end of the season that forced him to miss a couple of games in the preseason. He had a neck stinger, but both of those were a result of poor tackling technique, in which his head kind of got in the tackling lane, if you were in the target areas. And if he's able to clean that up, and that is a fundamental thing, muscle memory thing that he's got to correct. If he can clean that up, he's going to be just fine.
You know, you mentioned the general manager there, and I wanted to ask you to shift gears here for a second and talk about Sashi Brown, who was with the Browns, right? He's executive vice president there, was there from 2013 to 2017. And now he's kind of shifting gears. He's been named to part of the front office team here, the new revamped front office team here with the Wizards. What are we getting in a guy like Sashi Brown?
You're getting someone who's very intelligent, is very forward-thinking, very meticulous when it comes to the ability with working with data. Listen, I gave him all kinds of grief when he was the top football executive with the Browns. Okay. He's not a guy that picks players, as evidenced by the players that he picked in the 2 years outside of Myles Garrett that John Dorsey spent 20 months replacing. But you know, John Dorsey would not have been able to do for the Cleveland Browns what he's done without some of the work that Sashi Brown did for the team. I think you have to be fair and objective about this situation. Did Sashi Brown do a good job picking players and fielding football teams? Absolutely not. The record speaks for itself. One win in just under two seasons, okay? But he expanded salary cap space for Dorsey to play with. He gathered a tremendous amount of draft assets that allowed Dorsey to really maneuver and rebuild this roster. So Sashi Brown does deserve some credit. But my understanding is that with the Washington Wizards, he's not going to be making personnel decisions. He's going to be basically working behind the scenes to assist the personnel departments, assist the business department, the legal department, things like that. To make sure that they're, you know, using the correct information or whatever. And I think that that is a role that he, with his background, is perfectly suited for.
Daryl, getting back to the Browns for just a minute before we let you go, what is the over-under on games before there's an Odell Beckham sideline meltdown? Is it 4.5? Is it 5.5? What are we looking at here?
We just talked to him yesterday. He had a football camp here in Cleveland for kids, and one of the things he told us in an exclusive interview that we had with him is that he felt in New York he could never escape his past, that every time he did something that became the focus, or, you know, the Josh Norman situation or the catch. Like, that's all anyone wanted to talk about, and he can never move beyond that. And he's hoping that he's able to move beyond it. Another thing that he told us, which I felt was real interesting, is that he sees a lot of similarities between him and Baker Mayfield, is to your point about being an emotional, passionate player. And he said that he's looking forward to showing and teaching Baker Mayfield how to control those emotions and use those emotions in a very positive manner, because he himself has made his mistakes and has learned from them. So I'm sure something's going to come up. He's one of the most polarizing players in the National Football League. He's the most popular player in the National Football League. And so I'm sure at some point this year he's going to do something that's going to get criticized.
Daryl, you may have swayed us as far as our season-long bet on the Browns. We'll have to this out over the next few weeks before it starts for real. Thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
I wish you both good luck.
Thank you. We appreciate that. That's Daryl Ryder. Covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. It's a matter of, can they live up to the lofty expectations that a lot of people have for them with all the offseason additions, the development of Baker Mayfield, bringing in Odell Beckham.
Right.
Got a young, talented defense.
We just have to look at that schedule and kind of analyze it and decide if we want to go over or under the 9. 10 wins is still a lot of wins for certainly a young quarterback.
I mean, I honestly think...
And a young head coach.
I think they could lose both of their opening games. I mean, the Titans are a decent squad. I mean, I think that's going to be a coin flip.
It won't be easy.
And going on the road to beat the Jets with Le'Veon Bell and Sam Darnold in year two, I don't think that's a gimme. They probably are favored in that game, but I don't think that's any sort of a blowout in week two.
But those last 4 weeks...
They're pretty soft.
Two against the Bengals.
Pretty cushy.
And the Bengals are going to suck.
Yeah.
And they do play the Ravens, but it's a home game.
Right.
And the other one was, it was another cupcake. Can't remember who it was.
Arizona on the road.
Arizona on the road. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see.
Football's here. Football's upon us. Redskins tee it up from Richmond starting tomorrow. The conditioning test is today. Conditioning test today, and then full-on practice starts tomorrow for Redskins training camp in Richmond.
And that's not just rookies, right? That's rookies and vets?
No, that's everybody.
Everybody tomorrow.
That's everybody.
Remember what a mockery the conditioning test was years ago with Haynesworth?
Oh,
now
yes.
Haynesworth's desperate for what, a kidney? Is that what he's looking for?
Kidney or
yeah.
liver?
I think it's a kidney.
It's a kidney, yeah.
Kidney.
Yeah.
Oh, who would have guessed? I wouldn't have guessed that quickly. I would have guessed bust, though. I wouldn't have guessed desperate need of a kidney.
Hey, luckily for him, it sounds like a lot of people reached out after he...
Is that right?
Yeah.
People did?
Yeah, there was an outpouring of support for Albert Haynesworth, which sounds kind of crazy.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope for the best, and he can find a match there. We have to get out of here.
Open line Thursday tomorrow.
For the day, Grant and Danny coming up next, right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.